I'll continue this conversation at a later date. So how did you do, Mark?
Where's my mic?
You pick one.
Is it down here?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. We did well, Joe. How are you doing?
Good, good. So you went to Trenton, and it was something on the water.
I guess I'll just hold it.
Yeah, I think just put it on the thing in front of you. It'll work.
Are you picking me up?
Yeah, I see.
Okay.
It. So you're good.
Yeah, so, and I apologize, Joe. I wouldn't have missed being here on time for anything but the most dire needs, and that's what's happened. And, of course, as has been in the papers, DEP has been looking at passing a resolution that's going to upgrade a considerable amount of waterways in Hunterdon County to a C1 designation, which by many standards makes it harder to do development. And the county and a number of the towns have asked for, over the course of this year, a reworking of and a reexamination of some of those proposals to DEP. And a lot of stuff has occurred so far this year, but essentially we wanted to have our first face-to-face with DEP to of this magnitude anyway to talk about a lot of these issues. We had submitted letters. We had submitted a lot of research previously. There had been a lot of back and forth. We had official comments, but this was the first decent scale direct dialogue. So a couple of the towns and the county went down there, and yeah, I think it was a really productive dialogue.
So which towns went down?
Today, it was just Raritan Township and Town of Clinton today.
Okay.
And anyway, I can't obviously go into a lot of details about what the discussion was, but it was just nice to have the dialogue. And a number of people from DEP were in the room, and we were heard. We had a good conversation, and obviously hard to know what will happen, but we did at least want to make sure that restrictions weren't passed that were so onerous that we would feel that it would impede our ability to continue to develop the economy.
So what's the net result that you're hoping for?
The net result we're hoping for is a little bit too complex to talk about here because the county's comments that were submitted on this, you know, obviously were a lot of pages, but we don't necessarily want them to change everything. We support a lot of the upgrades. We're really only asking for about 5 individual streams of the 19 to be reconsidered.
Yep.
So the freeholders and all the towns are not saying don't protect anything.
Right.
We're just wanting a couple areas that we know are key to the future of our economy to have a little bit more leeway so that we can continue to have a sustainable economy and provide opportunity for the citizens here.
And develop new building lots as a base of that or expand existing ones.
Yeah, and I think that's the key, actually. You know, we owe it to companies that have been here providing jobs and opportunity, investing in our communities for 30, 40, 50 years. If they want to expand and continue to invest in us, we don't want to have to say you can't do it anymore.
Right.
Because, Joe, you know, I know that 50% of them might go, all right, well, we'll go do it in Pennsylvania.
Exactly. Exactly. So I went to, like, 2 or 3 weeks ago, you had the Economic Development Council, which I think was your first one.
The summit.
Summit. Yeah. It was great. It was a great day. There must have been 8 or 9 of our mayors there. And a lot of banter back and forth and a lot of good progress reporting, but some numbers came out of it that I was just curious as to where these numbers come from. For example, you know that 2019 was exactly the same population as 2018, with the exception of 2 people, and I think you were kidding about it because you're still looking for those. How do you know that?
I put up the name of that report.
Okay.
It was a Rutgers report that came out in the fall of last year.
Right.
And it was called The Burbs Bounce Back.
Yep.
And it was a look at the rural and suburban areas in this part of the state and the fact that Rutgers was very surprised to see a reversal of some of the numbers that had been negative trends for a long time, and population was one of them. And so they pointed out that from 2010 to 2016, I'm forgetting the exact number now, but Hunterdon lost about 2,300 in residents. But from beginning of 2016 to the time of the study, it literally was only 2 net loss.
And yeah, I did make that joke at that point. They were
but how do
down.
They how do they count them? How do they determine that number?
You know, I'd have to look at the report. I can't remember exactly.
Because
what
one
they
of the things
doing.
I've always wanted the real estate commission to do is to track where people move from to, so we can tell where the migration is. Okay, people buying $400,000 in Clinton are moving from Summit or wherever. You know, it would be a great thing to know because we could then understand and market them. But they don't. They don't want it. So maybe it's a protection of information too.
Well, I think we're always limited. Like, there's so much information we all want, and we're always limited by, what, manpower and money, right,
right,
to obtain it. So
I'm seeing lots of new developments go up, but I think lots of the new developments are affordable housing developments. I mean, the thing on Beaver Avenue, well, the buildings are all up already, and I noticed there's doing a couple in Clinton where the AMP and the Agway are both going to be up, and it looks like there's a new project going up by Mobus Court.
Right.
You're talking about the millennials coming back. I'm wondering where you're seeing them, because I can't say I'm seeing them. I'm seeing them here. You know, they never went away to some extent. They work in the industries around here. But I don't see an influx coming back.
Actually, I'm not talking about them coming back. At the summit, we presented some statistics that the percent of the population in a couple of the younger age groups had been increasing in pockets around the community. We had no way to tell if that increase was coming from people not leaving,
right,
and or whether it was people coming back, or what combination of either one of those it was. So I didn't postulate any conclusion on that. Simply, we did know that the numbers were increasing. It could doesn't even have to be a positive thing, really. I mean, frankly, some of those stats could just be that because New Jersey is so expensive, it's harder and harder for for 25, 26, 27-year-olds to actually leave and live on their own.
Yep.
But regardless, there were more young folk here in a couple of those pockets. And for a county that's population is aging and declining, those could be looked at as positive signs.
I agree. Because first of all, we have no housing under $400,000. Anything that's clean goes. It's just the shelves are bare. 5 to 6 is normal. Above 6 still has its problems. Interesting, last month, the average sale price in Hunterdon County, and 85% of our houses sold under $500,000. It's usually somewhere around 75%.
Hmm.
Our average sale price was $350,000. I mean, I've never seen it that low. And especially later in the year, it usually goes up because people are trading up. So I'm really wondering if it's an anomaly, because the same thing happened in Somerset County too, not as low, but proportionately, they're always about 20% higher than us. I'm not seeing an influx of buyers at the 4 to 6 range, which is where we do have enough inventory right now. We have too much inventory over 6.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting when we get, and of course, not every opportunity that comes along is going to reflect in the housing stock.
Right.
But one that could have recently was the expansion of the Exxon Mobil R&D facility there. And as it, now I don't have hard numbers on this, but the anecdotal numbers were it looked like a lot of that increase at that site, and those were salaries that could afford to live here. A lot of those people chose to live in Pennsylvania because of the tax situation.
Yep.
So I can't speak to the overall picture, but when we have had expansions that included incoming workforce that make enough to live in Hunterdon County, we have seen that despite targeted efforts, a lot of that population has chosen to live in the Lehigh Valley and then commute over here.
And I could quite easily understand it, because I've put a few of the Exxon people into housing, and they're typically in the low to mid fours. And that's a great place, because that's where there's a child or two already, an EDR, there's a dog. We have nice housing there.
Yeah.
It's comfortable. Sold one right here in Flemington 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, to somebody from that. It seems to me, with what's going on where Merck used to be, and they're bringing like 1,100 people in on a daily basis. I don't know how many are here already. Some of that has to fall out into additional people.
You talk about Unicom Global's purchase,
right.
So Unicom Global was very clear publicly in the beginning, and with us, and everyone said this is going to be a very slow ramp up.
Okay.
And it has been. And I think what was disappointing to the real estate community is that most of the people that are there now were simply there. They were consolidated at that site from other offices, smaller offices that Unicom already had in New Jersey.
Right.
So really nobody needed to move. So some of the higher C-suite people already lived within 20 miles or so of that site anyway. They just happened at that time to be going to Parsippany or places like that where their offices were. So what small workforce there is there already didn't need to purchase homes. And the workforce that's coming, there's no timetable yet as to when the bulk of that is going to hit.
But they're not going to occupy all of that itself. It's going to become a technology park to some extent.
Well, they certainly seem to be positioning that way, certainly by the name itself, right? Unicom Science and Technology Park.
I'm saying, yes, come.
But again, there's it's hard to talk specifically because I can't betray conversations I have with the company. But what I can say is, they have a lot of vision for things they could do at that site. And I know all those are being looked at and examined. And I believe that we're going to see some very interesting things happen there.
Right.
But what that timetable looks like and which things are going to be decided on, I just don't know at this time. And I don't think they do either just yet, anyway.
But for now, there's less than 1,000 people working.
Far less. Yeah.
Okay, I didn't realize it was that little.
So I'd be surprised if it's over 150 at this point.
Really? Okay. Really? Interesting. So it's a start. You know, it's like what's 500 lawyers at the bottom of the ocean. It's a start. but it's a good start. It's going in the right direction. Forget the lawyer joke.
Well, you talk about a company that can afford to do a lot there.
Right.
And, you know, I've seen this with companies before. You know, they get a new site and they have to spend a lot of time examining everything that could happen there.
Right.
And then they start examining, okay, which things should we prioritize making happening here? And that process can take a while. So
yep.
I don't think we should be discouraged at all by how the pace of the ramp up. I think we should just be heartened by the fact we've got a good company looking to do some things there.
And how many people does Unicom have in New Jersey in total?
Oh, I don't know that exactly. Okay. So
150, 200 people is a start. So that's good. We're moving in the right direction. I had the opportunity today, finally, to go talk to Jim at Zero Search.
Oh.
Okay, one of our smaller high-tech employers.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, he's a fabulous mind. Just talking to him and getting into when you fill the gas tank up on a car from a chemical viewpoint. And so he's amazing.
There's a reason when I have meetings that involve technology talk, I bring him along as a private side consultant.
Right. I can see why. As a matter of fact, I want to come Thursday night because he says they got the FBI talking there.
Yes.
Because I said I'd like to get involved at Hack Hunter. And last year I was out of town. We had a grandchild that got born, and we went out. Just happened to be that weekend, so I didn't come. But the 2 years before, it was fabulous. I was like, this year I want to get involved. You know, it's a fabulous effort you're putting on. So he said, well, come for Thursday, so I'm going to do it.
Okay, yeah, great. Yeah, the Hack Hunter and Tech meetup is last Thursday of most months. I wouldn't say every month, but
right.
11 months basically of the year at Lone Eagle Brewing in Flemington. And it's people that are in tech or like tech, and they show up usually to hear a guest speaker, or sometimes we just have fun events like we had Bring Your Oldest Working Technology Day, and people would bring things that, you know, technology that was front and center in 1936, and they would bring it and show it off, things like that. But as you said, this time we have cybersecurity experts from the FBI. They're going to be coming and talking.
I'm definitely going to be there. It sounds like a fabulous thing. And it meets at the Lone Eagle Brewery.
Yep. 7 o'clock.
And 7 o'clock. If anybody doesn't know where that is, it's in a little turntable junction. You can't miss it. And I think they're actually building onto it because the Mortira is on the building. And I know Marge was telling me that they finally got approval to build on.
Yeah, it looks like it's going up right now, I think.
Is it?
Yeah.
Wow. So hopefully some people can join us there. What else? The Hack Hunter usually happens around early summer.
Well, again, Hack Hunter is an umbrella name. So Jim runs Hack Hunter and Radio,
yep.
And this is the Hack Hunter and Tech Meetup. That's monthly, and then what you're referring to is the Hack Hunter and Hackathon, which is a 24-hour tech product creation competition that will be entering year 4 in 2020.
Right.
And there's going to be some changes to the event this year, but the bottom line is we put it in place so that our innovators have a platform to come show their ideas to the world. And it has traditionally been in either spring or summer.
Okay.
So this past year it was in, or last 2 years it's been in early June.
Wow. Because I remember the year before, they had a couple of kids doing a facial recognition, looking at somebody when the hurricane in Hawaii, or the earthquake in Hawaii. I guess it was a volcano in Hawaii. But I understand this year they had something with the glasses and doing some of the newer technology. And I look at this technology, I say, what are you going to use it for? And it's like, I remember when I first heard Professor Hughes talk about self-driving cars. And I said, yeah, right. But you know what? I have a self-parking car now. Mm-hmm. I haven't used it. I had the car a year and a half. I still haven't tried it. But it came with the car. And I will someday use it. But I'm saying to people, because they're saying, when are the jobs going to come back? I said, well, Professor Hughes has been talking about self-driving cars. But now we've got a couple of things together. Let's take the latest technology innovation, which is G5, is it called?
You're talking about for cell?
Yeah.
Yeah, yes.
So I saw a demo on that with self-driving cars on YouTube where they put this little thing on a bumper and it makes it so your car can't hit another car that's the same way equipped. So you all get in the fast lanes and it drives you. But now take it up a level and say, why does it have to be cars? Why can't it be a bus of 100 people in it? And we can get from New York to here in 20 minutes. That would bring people back.
And there's so much neat stuff happening with that. And people don't even realize that a lot of that's happening already. The cars aren't self-driving per se.
Right.
But the cars are talking to each other. And the cars are talking to, the newer cars are talking to the signs that you see that say, you know, 20 minutes ahead there's an accident and things like that. So there's a lot of communication along certain corridors that is happening now between the technology on technology that we're not even necessarily aware of.
Yeah. And I know I use OnStar in mine. It's been around for 10 years. Mm-hmm. But it'll tell me there's the slow lanes are closed up ahead. Won't get into that. So somebody must have to tell it that. I don't know how it does it. But you know what? I don't know how my watch works, and I use that.
That's true. I don't even know how the radio technology works.
Right.
And that's 100 years old. So,
but it's... I don't care where I've been in technology, and I worked in technology all my life, is you don't need to know how it works. You just need to know what you can do with it. And it's amazing because I read, I told the story before. It was an interview by Joe Rogan, and he was interviewing Wetzel, the futurist. He's into genetic futures. And he was talking how people have taken two or three of other people's inventions and done something with it. And his example was, and Jamie Wetzel is a total futurist. He's so far out there, it's like I can't even catch up with him, but it's fun to listen to. He says it was like when we brought Wernher van Braun and all those people over who worked on the Manhattan Project. Well, they, as scientists, worked within the confines of a box, and they knew what they were doing, but they didn't know what somebody was going to do with their invention.
Right.
And when they saw the bomb being dropped on Hiroshima, The comment in the very stern German accent was, what the F did we just do?
There's always that risk for any technology.
Yeah, yep. But it's good and bad.
Yep.
So I look at what is Hunterdon County to me. Hunterdon County is where I want to live. It's a great place to live. It's just not a great place to work. We're trying to make that better by bringing companies like this in. So most people go to the east and come back, and we call that traffic, okay? And people do that from Pennsylvania to come here because we pay $3 an hour more than Pennsylvania pays on minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
And our minimum wage here at, I'm not going to mention, but that's one of the big hypermarkets, is $15 an hour already. So we don't need to raise minimum wage because we're out of people. It's raised itself. We're bidding for people because we don't have enough people. What we now need is some more better-paying jobs so we don't have to commute to the east.
Yeah.
And I know that's what you're working on.
And a lot about that is not about, as you heard at the summit, a lot of that is not about necessarily just getting the businesses in, but we've got to set our playing area so that they want to come in. So like what you heard at the summit was another town's reporting out about streamlining of processes so that we're more attractive for businesses that want to invest in us. They need to know that it takes less time and less money now to get set up in Hunterdon.
Right.
And that wave continues to move across the county. So ease of use ordinances have passed or are being looked at now in Clinton Township, Flemington, Alexandria, and Frenchtown. And a number of other towns are talking to us about utilizing the economic development grant to get consultants to do the same with them. So this... easing of burden and regulation on business and those who want to invest in us is now a bona fide wave going across this county. So a lot of that kind of stuff had to be addressed before we could really start putting in business. But I'm happy to say that the communities are on board with this, and largely the people seem to be too. When Frenchtown first published reports out about what they had done there, I went online and read social media, and 90% of the comments were, I wish my town was doing this, not, why are they doing this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's natural, because what we witnessed at Beaverbrook Country Club about 2 weeks ago was amazing. I mean, I walked away saying, wow, they're pulling it together.
What do you want
they
to
really
do when
are.
You grow up?
And
when
not
we were young,
it
it's a question
lighting.
We were
they're
often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise financial advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heide and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A statewide emergency declared in California by the governor, Gavin Newsom. Strong winds still fanning wildfires in both the northern and southern parts of that state. But in Northern California's wine country, the biggest fire by far is the Kincade Fire. It's now consumed over 55,000 acres. It's destroyed about 100 structures. The Tick Fire is burning north of L.A. It's destroyed at least 22 buildings.
We wanted to make sure we were doing it right, and so we were focused on delivering the outcome that we got.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo saying that the mission by special ops to kill the ISIS leader, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, was a well-guarded mission until it happened on Saturday night.
That's what the American people should be focused on. It's what President Trump and our team were focused on.
He spoke on Fox, and this is USA Radio News.
I'm at the American Veterinary Medical Association annual convention in Washington, D.C. with Dr. Barbara Natterson Horowitz, evolutionary biologist and physician.
There's a form of fainting that happens when people get stressed because the excitement triggers a slowing of the heart. Why this happened didn't make sense. The heart shouldn't slow down. The heart should speed up when there's fear. But what I've learned by working with veterinarians and learning about how animal hearts work is that young animals, when they are scared, sometimes their heart rates get very, very low, and that causes them to be very still. And when wild animals become very still, it often makes them safer from predators. One possible hypothesis is that slowing of the heart rate in response to fear in our species is actually an evolutionary echo from our vertebrate ancestors, for whom the slowing of the heart was life-saving.
There's more valuable information at avma.org.
President Trump facing a lot of protesters today as he visits Chicago for the first time since taking office. Longest-serving African-American congressman in history is dead at 90. Michigan Democrat John Conyers died at home yesterday. He was an original member of the Congressional Black Caucus and pursued liberal causes for over 50 years in the U.S. House. He resigned in 2017 amid allegations of sexual harassment, which he denied. The memories of the 11 people killed in a Pittsburgh synagogue shooting are being honored. Hundreds of people gathered yesterday to mark the one-year anniversary of the murders of the Tree of Life Synagogue, or at the Tree of Life Synagogue. Those who attended yesterday's service said the community is still in pain, but it felt good to be gathered in love instead of the hate, which led to last year's attack. It was the deadliest such attack against the Jewish community in U.S. history. Find us online anytime or at usaradio.com.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
Well, a weekly check of gasoline.